If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, we're going to continue our study on how to deal with stress, dealing with stress. And something the Lord gives us solutions for, because it is a reality that we face every day of our lives, especially during these days that are upon us. The holidays, which are some of my favorite days, but if we're honest, it can be some of the most stressful days because of certain requirements. And that's one of the things I appreciated and I remembered, and I think back often, of what I really enjoyed about living in the desert. I could give you a long list of things that I would have loved to have out there, but I tell you, there are some too that I can list about what I really enjoyed. And one of the things I thoroughly enjoyed out there in the middle of the Sahara, and living in this town of Agadez, is it was not only just a slow pace, not a lot of ripping and running, not a lot of activity. You basically did your business throughout the town and whatnot through when it was daylight. And by the time it was getting dark, you headed home and had supper and pretty much closed shop for the day. And then get back up at daybreak the next day and do it all over again. But one of the things that I learned to appreciate too, Christmas in several ways. One was, I learned to appreciate Christmas because they didn't celebrate it there. And you grow up into a culture where, boy, everything, even non-believers who will celebrate Christmas in some way with some sort of decoration. There's parties, there's events, there's Christmas trees, there's Christmas lights, and there's the Christmas music and the shopping and the hustle and the bustle. And you don't have any of that when you go out there. It's just another day. Just another day in the market. Nothing changes. There's no decoration. There are the very few Christian churches that are in the area will have a special service that day. And I tell you what, that's one thing I recall, is just the simplicity of Christmas. The Christmases we celebrated there in the desert, it was just so simple to where it was not a whole lot of pressure to perform our certain gifts. You know, we were thankful if any gifts got mailed to us, and if they did, we were thankful for them. And boy, aren't you thankful that when we can just simplify things? And that's what we ought to do. But tonight we're going to go to another topic on this. Let's go to our Bibles there in Philippians chapter number 4. I can remember one Christmas, my mom and Joanna's mom, they did a wonderful job of sending us wrapped gifts, even out there. They'd get them in these boxes, and sometimes it wouldn't be in the best shape. But I remember one Christmas morning, you remember this, Joanna, where we had wrapping paper everywhere. And I think it was Thomas, but we had wrapping paper all over the living room. And Thomas had these pajamas on, and they may even been like Christmas-like pajamas. He was sitting somewhere on the other side of the living room, and I remember taking a picture. I don't know exactly if I was taking a picture of Thomas or if I was just taking a picture of the mess, but you went and looked at that picture, and you could not find Thomas. And it was like a Where's Waldo deal, but it was Where's Thomas? He blended in right in with those things, but we laughed about that, and that was... That was just little, you learn to appreciate the little things of wrapping paper on the floor when you're way out there. But I do remember that. Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to just read there in verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, the Word of God says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I am grateful for the Wednesday night meeting. I'm thankful, Lord, that your people have made an effort to come and to hear the Word of God and to pray together tonight. Lord, we do ask you to lift burdens tonight. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen us in our faith. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be encouraged by your Word and by your Spirit. Father God, would you bless now in the study of your Word, but also, Lord, would you bless during the prayer time? I pray that it would not be such a thing that we just tack on, but, Lord, something we spend special time doing and special effort and making sure we're interceding for the brethren and for the lost and, Lord, trying to make a difference for eternity through the ministry of prayer. So we commit it to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we begin, for sake of time, I'm not going to do too much reviewing here, but we talked about the recipe for stress, which we deal with every day, and financial strains, family divisions, job difficulties, and so on. There's so many aspects I could name. But then we talked about results of stress. We talked about uncontrolled anger, depression, irritability, withdrawal, sleepless nights, and even health things such as high blood pressure and just a decline in health, and which ultimately leads to apathy for spiritual things. Stress is a dangerous animal, folks. It will consume you, and ultimately it will bury you. And boy, we got to deal with it. And God's going to give us solutions. And that's what the third point was, remedies for stress. And according to the Word of God, we talked about the first remedy is prayer. Taking it to God first and foremost. Talking to the Lord about it. And spending time in Him. Then the second we see from this passage, not only does Paul say we need to pray about it, but Paul says we need to praise Him as we're praying, thanking God for what we do have. And what we can give Him praise for. And then we talked about perspective. So we've gone through several perspectives. One was stop thinking the worst of things. We saw what God wants us to think about in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. And then we talked about it doesn't all depend on you. Sometimes there's that pressure that, man, this everything hinges on you. And it does not. God does give us responsibility, of course, but when it all comes down to it, it is simply us yielding to the Lord and allowing Him to work. And then last week, or last time, 2 weeks ago, we talked about this perspective is to understand that we need to allow God to work in people's lives. That helps remove a tremendous amount of stress when we realize we do not fulfill the role of the Holy Spirit of God and just seeking to do our part but letting God do His. But tonight, I'm going to another perspective that, well, I'll tell you what, from the youngest one here tonight to the oldest, I guarantee you it is a temptation that we are faced with often. And that is this, my friend, it is the temptation to compare ourselves with others. That is a big stress point and can cause a tremendous amount of turmoil in the Christian's life when they get to that point where they are comparing themselves with others. And of course, the Word of God says a lot about that. And hold your place there and go over to 2 Corinthians. Hold your place in Philippians. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Go over there with me, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10, and I'll just read there in verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But listen to what Paul says here, the Word of God. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, what's the next three words, church? Are not wise. And boy, I tell you, I can think of times in my life where I have put a tremendous amount of pressure on myself. Because you know what I was doing? I was comparing myself with another. You know, one of the most helpful quotes that I read one time when I was going through a trial of of struggling with comparing myself. It happened to be on the mission field, and you know, we're just trying to start out, and man, we're fumbling left and right. We don't know what we're doing, and there's just some real struggles there. And then you look at some of these missionaries that maybe have been at it longer and know the language, and man, they know the culture, and they've been there to build relationships. And sometimes as a missionary, you can get into a place where you get real discouraged because you start comparing yourself with others. But I read this quote one time. It says, "Never compare your chapter 1 to someone else's chapter 20. And you plug that in anywhere you want, because the truth is God has us at different stories or chapters in this thing, in this book, which is called life. And God writes the book, and He chooses what chapter He wants us to be in. Some are in chapter 1. I told one missionary buddy of mine that. I got so tickled what he responded with. I was encouraging him, and he said, "Well, Brother Brinson, you mentioned that. I believe I'm in the table of contents." I said, "Don't compare yourself to your chapter 1 to Jay." He said, "Well, I think I'm still in the table of contents." But he understood that God's going to have us in different chapters of life. And that is something that the Lord expects us to remember when it comes to comparing ourselves. Now, comparing ourselves has two aspects. One is a sense of an inferiority complex where you're basically feeling like a just inadequacy. You compare yourself because you always feel inferior. You feel inadequate to those that are around you. But then also you have the other aspect, which is pride. You look at yourself and say, "Well, you know, I'm glad I'm not like that person or that guy or this and that." There's just a temptation from both aspects. But, you know, I'm going to, you know, talk about some things tonight that more deal with the feeling inferior because of you not thinking you have what someone else has, and feeling bad about that, and comparing because you haven't reached a certain level, and doing that, which causes turmoil. Theodore Roosevelt said this: "Comparison is the thief of joy." Comparison is the thief of joy. And the Word of God talks about the idea of comparing, even when it talks about envying. James chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." So the idea of those that are constantly comparing themselves with others, it's going to cause strife. It's going to cause confusion. And the bottom line is, anybody that's got anything to brag about, they better be bragging on the Lord. Amen? The Bible says, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And that's something that we ought to, when we brag, we ought to give God the praise, give God the glory. But when we compare in a sinful sense, here are some things that we are have a temptation to compare. I'm just going to go through these different aspects. These are not exhaustive, but let's just think about these aspects as we go. I put this at number one because I believe it is indeed probably one of the biggest struggles that we are faced with when it comes to comparing. I would say here, especially to our young people, but I don't think it age is limited by age. And that is this. I believe one of the areas that causes the most stress when comparing ourselves with others is in the context or the subject of our image. Of our image. We live in an image-based society, do we not? I mean, let's just think about some of the things. First of all, that comes to mind, you know, when it comes to image, we think of social media. Listen, I want to tell you, parents, I know y'all know this, but you could not imagine the pressure on these young people sitting right up here in the front and around our auditorium. You would not imagine the pressure and the stress that comes to them daily because of ways they need to feel like they need to show their image. Perhaps in a physical way, but most prominently, it's in the social media avenue. That's the way we are. And that's not limited to teenagers. I mean, we as adults, most of us in this room, I think, I would say the majority, have some sort of social media outlets, Facebook, whatever it is. And there's that comparison. It happens. You see something on Facebook and see some family, and man, you see things, boy, and there's a temptation there thinking, I wonder why I can't look that way. Or I wonder why I can't have that. Or, you know, there's just that comparison there that can be really a downfall and a stumbling block. You know, I think of these social media outlets, you know, such as Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. That is what these young people of ours, especially, that is their life. And I'm not suggesting here that we should totally remove social media. You understand that. I'm not. But what I'm saying, it's a reality that when it comes to comparing ourselves, and we're talking about the stress level, there's also, how can I prove that? Well, I'll tell you this. The way social media is set up in some of our young people's minds and even adults, okay, let's be honest. You post a picture on Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram. One of the first things you're always thinking about, wonder how many likes I will get on this. Do we not? Yeah. You're concerned about, okay, who's commenting, who's likes, and if you don't get many likes, then you get self-conscious, and I wonder, man, well, I wonder, you know, if that picture was pretty enough, or I wonder if it was right, and what are they thinking, and man, you know what starts to happen? Stress. Stress because you're thinking in your mind, you're trying to compare yourself. I wonder what people are thinking and what I compare to. And boy, it can bring about turmoil in the heart. And by the way, social media, it's a great tool. It's a great instrument. But I tell you what, it's only half the story, folks. You know it? It's only half the story. You know, and I'm not suggesting that we should go out and hang out our dirty laundry on social media. I'm not suggesting that at all. But when it comes right down to it, what we put on Facebook are usually the bright moments. It's not the things that we're struggling with and stumbling with. It's not showing the weaknesses. It's not showing where we messed up that day and this and that. It's usually showing the smiles. And again, I'm not being critical of that. I'm not suggesting that we should go hang out all our mistakes, but the truth of the matter is, sometimes we can get into an idea where we are thinking in the context of our whole life. You knew the struggles you had that day. You knew the things that didn't go your way that day. You knew something you were wanting to do. You have that whole context, but then Johnny and Sally's post comes up, and boy, everything's just honky-dory. And you're like, man alive. And these teenagers, they compare each other. They compare the fads that they wear, the clothes that they wear, what they look like. And boy, it just brings a tremendous amount of stress. And I'll talk more about that here in a minute. But we talk about the image, but I'll tell you another thing that brings stress is comparing your intelligence to others. I'm just not as smart as so-and-so, and boy, I wish I had the scores that this person had, and why can't I succeed? And, you know, if you're like me, I'm terrible at math. And I can't understand how people just love, how can someone love math? They need to get checked out. Do you not agree? But there are people that do. And so, you know, and they usually do well with in algebra and all that stuff, and so that's okay. Listen, that'll be all right. I don't think there'll be any algebra in glory, but that's okay. We'll deal with it here on earth. But the truth is, there is intelligence that you don't meet a certain level. Listen, I didn't get that SAT score that so and so got. And then there's you know, whatever job description you have. Well, I don't make as much money, and mention that here in a second. But, you know, I thought it was interesting. You do a little research, and you find out people in life that went on with great success when they didn't have the best education. I think of somebody like old Henry Ford. You ever heard of him?
Yeah.
He grew up on the farm, had hardly any formal education. His daddy said, "Well, son, Henry, I think you'll just stay on the farm and take over." And Henry said, "No, Dad, I don't think I am this time." And he tried to go out and make something of himself, and I think he did pretty good. You know, Ford trucks have been you can make big Chevrolet drivers. Y'all can pick all you want, but it's a fact. The Ford trucks are the best-selling trucks in America and have been. And you just go through millions and billions of dollars in the vehicle industry and what he sparked by the industry line and the assembly line of putting those vehicles together. And he didn't have it. You think about Albert Einstein. They thought he was a complete idiot. They said, "You'll never amount to be anything." And we know how that turned out. I think of John D. Rockefeller. You know, they didn't think he was going to amount to be anything. He dropped out of high school, and man, he maybe not had a formal education. Maybe he didn't make the best grades, and whatever the case may be. But he went and made a few dollars later in life. And I'm not suggesting tonight that it's all about making a few dollars. But my point is that, listen, we can compare ourselves about our intelligence or our success in that area of life, but I'm telling you what, it's what you make of what life gives you. I believe it is. I think of John Glenn who dropped out of college, you know, and because World War II started, he wanted to join the military and the army. He did, and then he went on to be the most well-known astronauts ever. John Glenn, that's right. I think of Steve Jobs, you know, who was creator of Apple Computer, personal computer. He got into college about 6 months, and it's interesting. He got out and started working on inventing and creating the Apple Computer, and he did. And by the way, Steve Jobs was adopted, and it come to find out that his biological mother had told the adopting parents, saying, "Look, one thing we require if you want to adopt Steve," she's like, he needs to get a college degree. Well, you know, Steve dropped out 6 months, but I think she'd be okay with how it all turned out. I think he went on to show great success. And by the way, you kids, please don't get any ideas about not going to college, okay? Or dropping out of high school. That is the exception. But the truth of the matter is, look, society can think what all they want. People can think what all they want. Because I used to appreciate Brother Ron Comfort. Y'all remember he came and preached for us? He's the president of Ambassador. And he used to tell us from the pulpit, the preacher boys, because I didn't make the best grades. I didn't make straight A's. But he used to tell, he said, "Listen, if you make a D, but you know God knows your heart, but before God you did your best, it's just as good as an A in God's eyes." God knows your heart, and I used to appreciate that because, man, there's some grades I struggle with. But he did say that at the same time, but if you're making D's and you know in your heart, if you would apply yourself, you'd be making A's, you need to get right with God. And that is the truth, and there's a tendency there to compare ourselves because of how we are succeeding in our studies or whatnot, education. But no, that need not be the case. God can do great things with or without education. And education is a good thing, and I recommend it wholeheartedly. All the way through high school, either get a GED or a high school diploma and go on to college if you can, but let's not compare. Then another thing is our influence, you know, how popular we are. What stage or what level of popularity? That's real big with the young people. And there's that stress level to be with that group that's the most popular. But that can add a lot of stress. Listen, I want to tell you something, young people. Don't try to fit in with the cool crowd. Just fit in with the will of God, and it'll all work out just fine. It'll be a blessing. You will, 10 years from now, you'll look back and say, "Praise God, I didn't try to fit in with that crowd." And you'll be praising the Lord. But then not only influence, but I'll tell you another one here. And this goes across the board. You can't put an age on this one, and that is affluence. You're comparing perhaps your wealth. Boy, that's a big one. You know, well, man, I'm not making what such and such is making. Boy, I wish I could drive that kind of car. Or boy, I wish I could live in that kind of house. And boy, I wish I could have those type of clothes. I remember the pressure, even with teenagers. I remembered, I know it's probably even grown stronger, that you're not really cool unless you have certain name brand clothing. And if you don't come in with the highest quality clothing, boy, you're almost looked down upon. And so there's that stress. I remember, I feel bad about it now, but I remember the amount of pressure I put on my mom and dad. Especially my mom, she'd take me shopping, and bless her heart, they'd been working hard. They didn't make a ton of money, but they definitely provided for us with a nice home and good food. But I would be putting pressure on mom. Well, I'd like to have this shirt. Everybody else has this shirt. You know, she'd say, well, son, if I buy you that shirt, that means I'm not going to be able to get you three pairs of pants and three pairs of shoes and others that I would normally get you. He says, so you want to go to school with some high water jeans, but with this $100 shirt? No, Mom, I don't. So, okay, well, let's move on. You know, the truth is, you know, there's a lot of pressure there and stress to try to meet up to society's standards. And I do encourage you, young people, be thankful for what Mom and Dad buy you. Be grateful. Don't put that stress on them to buy every high-dollar name-brand clothing that could break them very easily. But be thankful for what they're able to help with, because that can put a tremendous amount of pressure on them. And while I'm here, can I just park here just for a minute? Teenagers, one of the best gifts, can I just give you some advice here that'll probably help you? It'll help your family, and it will bless. You want to just bless your mom and dad. You want to honor them. Let me just tell you something to do this Christmas. Don't put any pressure on them to buy all these high-dollar gifts. One of the best ways you can bless mom and dad this Christmas is to say, Mom and Dad, you know some things that I would like, but honestly, Mom and Dad, you get what you would be within y'all's means. I don't want to put any pressure on you. I want to be grateful for whatever y'all get. But I don't want to try to put a ton of pressure on you. Let me tell you, that'd be a blessing to mom and dad. And I believe a lot of stress, especially this time of year, is mom and dad all stressed out trying to get a gift for everybody. And I finally, you know, and then you get into this crazy cycle where, boy, it just it causes more harm than good. It takes the meaning away from Christmas. Yes, we are to give, but it's not to keep up with the Joneses, that's for sure. So just keep that in mind, young people. Be a blessing to your parents, and maybe instead of giving them a list of all your wants, and then I promise I'll move on, maybe ask them for a list of some of their wants. I know that's foreign, but just not necessarily to you guys, but to society. But hey, let's just try to keep that in mind. But let me close with this. Can you please turn your Bibles to Psalm 139? And I'm going to go through this very, very quickly. It's a message within itself, but I'm just going to go through it very quickly. Psalm 139, please. Can you turn your Bibles there, please? Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and you can start reading with me there in verse number 14. When we are tempted to compare ourselves, folks, we need to go and read this with others. This says here in verse 14, Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And go on down to verse 17. Look what it says. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. What a precious portion of Scripture here. Ladies and gentlemen, when we are tempted and we are getting overwhelmed and stressed out because of our temptation to compare ourselves with others, may we realize three things here. Number one, the way you were created is the way God intended you to be. You are the best you anybody can be. You are. You are. You are specifically made just the way you are. Your personality, your DNA, your gifts, your talents, everything God has given to you just the way you are. And that is something to remember. But not only are you created, but number two, by God, but you are appreciated by God. Hey, who cares what Sally likes on my Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat account or Johnny? Who cares what they think? I'm telling you what God thinks of me. God says, look what the Word of God says. His thoughts are precious. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. You know, God thinks a lot of you and me. Not because we have anything to offer, but you know what? We're precious in His sight because we're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. Hey, and listen, I'm telling you what, you can get a lot of pressure in your life. You can try to feel like you got to measure up to so-and-so and do this and that. But I want to tell you, if you could just settle down, and if I could just settle down and get this truth right here, that I am where I am because of my God. He's given me what I have. He's created me the way I have. And I'm telling you what, He appreciates me. He thinks much of me. He says they're precious. His thoughts are more than the sand, and they're beautiful and precious towards me. But we got a society that brings a stress of comparison, and if we're not careful, it'll sneak into the church of God. And it will split families up. It will split churches up. It will turn us against each other. It will turn families against each other because there's stress of being like so-and-so, or being like them, or getting what they have. But I want to tell you what, God appreciates us, but not only do we remember that we were created and we were appreciated, but lastly, we are remembered. God never forgets us. Look there, back in your text. It says there, verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Look at this. When I awake, I am still with thee. God never forgets us. God never forgets us. There are people that will forget to call you, will forget to text you, will forget to approve of your social post. There will be people that do that. But I want to tell you, God never forgets. When you wake up, He's there. When you go to sleep, He's there. And I want to tell you, the Lord created us. He appreciates us the way we are. Now again, that's apart from if we're purposely sinning before Him. God doesn't appreciate our sin, but He appreciates the way He made us. And that's my point, because that's where we want to compare the way we are, what we have, what we do. We want to compare everything to somebody else. And I want to tell you, if there's a way that we can remove stress in our life, this is most definitely one of them. I'll never forget you. Hey, listen, you folks in here that are grammatarians and English grammar is your top subject, you're not going to maybe like this next statement, but I'll remember it. I'll never forget it. My grandmother had this picture that she had in her home, and I can't even remember what exactly it was. It might have been a cross stitch, actually, that she did. And the phrase that was there. Now again, please forgive me for you those that cherish grammar. I promise I won't try to slay it many more times. But it was this. It was this phrase. Be what you is. 'Cause if you be what you ain't, then you ain't what you is. That's pretty simple. That's slaying some grammar. But oh, is it so true? Be what you is. Because if you be what you ain't, then you ain't what you is. And I'm telling you what, be thankful for who God has made you to be. Be thankful for where God has placed you. Be thankful for what God has given you. And let's not go through our life constantly comparing ourselves with this group or that group. Let's be satisfied of what God thinks. I'm telling you what, that will help remove the stress tremendously.